Big Apple Bites. Your boy is back.
I'm Andy. I'm your host. And we've got another exciting New York sports-filled show for you guys today. So the Giants have a pivotal Week 3 game coming up against the Atlanta Falcons, who are one of the worst teams in football. Granted, the Giants haven't been great either, but we're going to get into that a lot. The Yankees have a crazy final week coming up for their playoff push. Going to unpack everything there, what they're going to need to do to hopefully get into the AL wildcard game and, at best, host it. And also a couple Rangers things to unpack, including the captaincy and all that good stuff. We've got a big show today, so without any further ado, let's get right into it with the Giants Week 3 matchup. So the Giants talked about the heartbreaking loss to Washington in the last episode. That was not a fun episode to record, I will admit it. I'm back on the couch in the same spot, and we're doing it again. This time, there is definitely a lot more optimism. The Yankees have been a lot better. The Giants have been, hopefully, on more of an uptrend, obviously. Daniel Jones looked great last week. I've got quite a bit of optimism for this week based on that. But, so, this week is going to be pivotal. If the Giants win this week, I will have a lot more confidence in them heading down through the rest of the year. If they lose this game, it might be at the point of like, okay, we just lost to Atlanta, who's been horrendous this year. Do we set our sights on next year? Now, I'm not one to encourage early quitting. I think it's a long season. It's 17 games ahead of you. You got 14 after this week, and you got 15 right now. There is a lot of time left for the Giants to turn it around. Daniel Jones looked great last week. I liked him coming into this year as a potential deep sleeper MVP candidate. He could get some votes at this rate. I don't think he's going to win it, but if he keeps playing like this, he could definitely get some votes. He has been playing very well, and as of now, I'd call him above average for quarterbacks in the league, possibly. His week one was not great, but his week two was very good. Right now, ESPN is projecting that the Giants have a 63.4% chance to win, and the spread is the Giants are favored by 2.5. That's a little bit closer than I would like it to be, but I think it's fair given that their performance last week on defense especially was not very good. And looking at the stats, Daniel Jones, their leading passer, obviously, he has 2 passing touchdowns, 516 yards so far. Matt Ryan is a little bit worrisome for Atlanta just because of the fact that he threw 2 pick sixes last week, and he just is looking more washed. I had a lot of optimism for him coming into this year, given that Calvin Ridley is going to evolve into something better, hopefully. He hasn't shown it quite yet. Russell Gage, Kyle Pitts, those types of guys. But Sterling Shepard looks great, and hopefully they will use Kadarius Toney more this week. I don't want that guy to be a bust. I know I have talked about him being a bust a lot in the past couple weeks, but I think they need to use him more because I think he's got the talent. They just need to unlock it and use it. I think this week could be an absolutely monster week for the Giants receivers. They did great last week. This is an even worse defense they're going against this week. Probably the worst defense in the entire NFL, worse than the Jets. Atlanta's not a worse team overall than the Jets, but they're pretty bad. And another thing with the Giants you're going to have to watch is the offensive line. Nick Gates, tragically, sadly, his career might be over. I'm really hoping he can get back and come back stronger than ever. And Shane Lemieux is out for the season. They're going to need some of these young guys on the offensive line to really step it up, because I don't know how in the world they're going to piece that together. It was already a weakness. It's getting decimated by very serious injuries already, which is not good. But Saquon, look for him to have a good week. This week, if he gets enough carries, he could definitely have 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against that Atlanta defense easily. And I fully expect him to possibly show that he is back this week. It just feels like the perfect matchup for him. It's a terrible defense, and the Giants, hopefully if they go up enough, Saquon will be getting the ball. That's very optimistic on my end, but I'm hoping for it. So if I were to make a game prediction at this point, I actually think that the Giants will win this one. I think it will be relatively close, but I actually think their offense could pull them ahead. My score prediction for this game, if they're going up against a worse defense this week, I'm going to go with the very optimistic route and say that the Giants win this game 35-24. Atlanta will put up points because their offense isn't horrible and the Giants' defense has not been that great so far, but the Giants will get a respectable win this week and look to get right back in it in the NFC East. And my bold prediction for this week is that Kadarius Toney actually ends up having a bit of a breakout week if they use him. I think he could eat up that Atlanta defense potentially if they give him the opportunities and if Daniel Jones figures out how to throw the ball to him. Just saying, watch out for him. And hopefully another thing to look out for is going to be the Galladay-Jones chemistry. Apparently Galladay was not yelling at Daniel Jones. He was yelling at Jason Garrett on the sidelines. So I'm not sure if that's for better or for worse. Not good to have that type of fighting, I guess, especially during a game. But you know what? Take it week by week. I'm expecting the Giants to win this week, and if they don't, serious questions are going to have to be raised. Serious questions. Though, I fully expect them to win if Daniel Jones plays like he did last week. And my number one hope for this week, besides winning, is that the defense steps it up. That I need to see more of them. I need to see what they were like last year. They were good last year. They were a top 10 unit. Get back to even just above average, and I will be happy. Because I think they've almost flip-flopped where the offense is where they have shined so far this year, and the defense has been where they have been horrendous. Bottom line, Giants better win this week. And watch out for Kadarius Toney if they give him the ball. And watch out for Daniel Jones, too. This feels like a week where Jones could have, like, 4 touchdowns. He could absolutely go off. He's been going off rushing, too. He should have had a long rushing touchdown last week, but nonetheless, CJ Board, man. CJ Board. That's an arguably worse penalty than Dexter Lawrence, because Dexter Lawrence should not have been penalized on that play. He didn't jump. He didn't jump before the ball was snapped. He jumped right when the ball was snapped. If that play had been able to be reviewed, it probably would have been overturned. But anyway, I'll go cry more later. Let's go, Giants. And now I want to move in to the Yankees. So let's get right into a Bronx Bomber segment here. Ooh, baby, the Yankees look like they are potentially back in business. I don't want to say that too soon, but holy crap, this weekend has been fun so far. Now, it could all go downhill on Sunday Night Baseball this week. It never seems to go well when they play Boston on Sunday Night Baseball for some reason. I just never have a good feeling with the Yankees in primetime on national TV. It's just always like that. And it's probably just because I associate guys like Matt Vasgersian and Joe Buck with, like, Yankee sadness now. It's weird. It never gives me any optimism. You never want Matt Vasgersian. Here's a rule of thumb. You never want Matt Vasgersian to be going nuts about something that happened against your team, because that's just not good. It means probably something heartbreaking, but nonetheless, the Yankees have gotten right back into it for the wild card. They were down a game and a half coming into this week, but they swept Texas in three games at home. That was a good series. The third game was an awesome game. It showed that they have those comebacks in them still. They haven't completely used all of them up, and they had another one of those today, actually. And first game against Boston, Nathan Eovaldi, they absolutely shelled him. They looked good. Gerrit Cole looked solid. I think his issue is just pitching in day games. Look at his stat split between them, and he pitches so much better at night. I don't know what's up with that. No pun intended. I wonder if more is going to come to light on that at some point. And then the game today. Oh my gosh, they were getting shut down by Nick Pivetta, who was triggering some people on the internet for doing his like screaming or ever whatever for like walking off the mound after a strikeout. And the bullpen, it's been revamped with guys like Mike King and Luis Severino returning. The jersey I've had for him, that he's probably only made five starts since I bought it at the beginning of 2019. He's back. He looks very, very good again. He's only pitching out of the pen, but probably the smartest thing. And they have long relievers. It really changes up the game plan almost that they can use. And they beat Boston today on a moonshot grand slam by Giancarlo Stanton. Probably the best Yankees moment this entire year. It was just absolutely amazing. If you want to find some internet clips, listen to Michael Kay's call of it. It was electric. One of his best calls I've ever heard. And then look up Joe's McFly. Shout out to my guy Joe's and John Boy Media. You already know they're great. Look up Joe's McFly's reaction to the Grand Slam. It is the greatest thing ever. He went absolutely nuts as always, but this was on a whole nother level. But Boston and the Yankees are tied now for the top wild card. And I can't forget Aroldis Chapman looked a little rocky, and Aaron Judge robbed a homer. My guy, favorite player on the team, has been for years and years and years and years and years now. They look good again. They need this momentum potentially going into a playoff push. They have seven games left. They are up two games on the Blue Jays. That is huge. It would have been nice if the Twins could have gotten a win for them. I believe they actually retired. I think they had like a ceremony for Justin Morneau. And speaking of which, I think the Giants are doing their Eli Manning jersey retirement tomorrow, so that should be awesome. Eli, one of my favorite players of all time. I don't care what you all say. I think he should be a Hall of Famer. That might be my Giants bias coming in, but Eli Manning, he was great. He was really, really good quarterback in the NFL. But back to baseball. It would have been really nice if Toronto could have lost today. The Rays clinched the division on the same day where it's coming to light that they might end up splitting time between Montreal and Tampa. I'm sure their 15 fans are going to be pissed off about that. But tomorrow, the Twins play the Blue Jays again. Alek Manoah, he's probably going to pitch a great game, and the Yankees are going to need to win to keep their ground on Sunday night. They have Jordan Montgomery. They never give him run support, especially against Boston, which sucks. I beg them to like break that tomorrow night. And then the Yankees go to Toronto this week to play three against the Blue Jays, and then they play three at home against the Rays to close out the year. Now, with that, at the end of the year, the Rays could potentially be just trying to line up their rotation for the playoffs, so they might not necessarily be pitching their best guys, although they would have a week of rest, so you could end up seeing guys like Shane McClanahan, which is a bit concerning because you don't want the Yankees to have to be going up against like the Rays at full strength. Now, if they've clinched the one seed, you'd never know. They might dial it back just a tiny bit, but if you want to keep that momentum, you probably wouldn't do that. And here's your hypothetical right here. If the Yankees are able to win tomorrow, and no matter what happens, like say the Blue Jays win as well, if the Yankees win the series against the Blue Jays, they will go up 3 games on them. That would be comfortable. That would be taking 2 of 3. Now, if they were... The best case scenario for these next 4 games is the Yankees win on Sunday Night Baseball tomorrow against Boston. Then they go to Toronto and miraculously somehow sweep the Blue Jays. Then you go up 6 games and the Blue Jays are in deep, deep trouble. And then you're watching even a team like the Mariners. The Yankees tomorrow, if they go up a game on Boston, they control their own destiny for hosting the wild card game. That's the situation you want to be in at this point. You don't want to be clawing your way back. But at the same time, you can't lose your ground if you're the Yankees. Tomorrow, if they can sweep Boston at Fenway, that would be huge, especially if Toronto wins. But if Toronto loses tomorrow, that's great again, because then you go up 3 games and you have a chance to essentially knock Toronto out of their spot where they are right now, where they're in within striking distance. Now, the Mariners, on the other hand, who were one of my sleeper teams going into this year, they are now 3 games behind. In a best-case scenario tomorrow where the Yankees win and Seattle loses to the Angels, the Yankees will go up 4 games on the Mariners, and they will be 3 back still of a playoff spot, because that would mean Boston loses. Boston falls to the second wild card spot. What the Yankees just need is they need Seattle to be losing just on the off chance that they somehow have a crazy push this last week of the year. Let's see who they play. The Mariners play a game against the Angels tomorrow, and then they have Oakland for 3. Oakland is still technically in it, and then they have the Angels again. So as much distance as the Yankees can keep in between them and the Mariners, that's good. They could use that, because you never know. You never know. And I'm at this point, it's gonna come down to the wire. I could easily see this going to a game 163. Now, I hope the Yankees can lock up that spot in any way possible. I don't care at this point if they host or not. Just make the playoffs and I will be happy. That's all I ask for. And they look fired up right now. That's a good thing. It's an absolutely good thing. And they're going to get Jonathan Loaisiga back, hopefully, this week. It sounds like Jameson Taillon could be coming back right in time for the playoffs. That's huge for them. They can get all these reinforcements. And I strongly believe that this team, if they make the playoffs, are going to be a very, very strong contender. They'll have to get past a wild card game first. I'd have confidence in Gerrit Cole if they have him starting now. The issue that they could face with that is, do they have to start their good pitchers for game 162, a potential game 163, and then a wild card? Like, at that point, I think if your rotation's lining up where, so Cole pitched yesterday, you're probably not going to, you're pitching Cole on Wednesday, and then you have 4 games after that. That would mean Cole would line up potentially for a 163, and you could maybe, I don't even know what they would do. I'd almost feel like they'd have to go all hands on deck if they're coming from behind on next Sunday in the last game of the regular season. Then you'd maybe pitch, you'd have options. You'd probably pitch Cole if it's a winner goes to the playoffs, loser doesn't, in game 163, and then I think you could pitch Montgomery or Nestor in a wild card game and go all hands on deck with that. They've got options. And if Taillon comes back, that will add to them. They just need him to be healthy. But for now, they need to win tomorrow. They need to take it day by day. I have a lot of confidence in the Yankees. I'm super excited. I'm nervous, but I am excited. Let's go on an October push, Yankees. Let's go. And now, with that all out of the way, I think we should move to a little Rangers segment. First time really talking about them on Big Apple Bites. So let's get in to the Blue Shirts. I'm gonna be completely honest. I am super excited for the Rangers season this year. They didn't go make splashy moves, but they made moves. They get Barkley Goodrow. They get Ryan Reeves. They give Igor Shesterkin that massive contract. He'll be here for a while. This is a good young team. Ryan Reeves specifically said this week he signed here because he thinks that this team is a cup contender. I wouldn't call them a cup contender quite yet, but they're definitely a big contender for the playoffs. They're in a tough division, but I think they've got what it takes to do it. And the big thing I want to talk about right now is the captaincy. Who gets the captaincy? I personally think it should be Mika Zibanejad if they get an extension done. Now, if they don't get an extension done, you've got options like you could give it to Artemi Panarin. I don't really know who you'd give it to outside of those guys. Maybe Ryan Strome is another candidate for that type of thing. I think right now I'm leaning Mika Zibanejad for my prediction. It sounds like they're going to have a captain before opening night against the Capitals in a couple weeks now. Super excited for that. But that is more of like off the ice stuff. And more off the ice stuff too, I guess, to talk about is Jack Eichel. He gets stripped of his captaincy in Buffalo. I think the Rangers really need to still be monitoring this market because I think his price could end up dropping drastically. And Buffalo, I think their hand is going to be forced at some point because it's going to be like you're going to be paying this guy just to sit at home because he's holding out because he doesn't want to play for your absolute garbage team. If they could get Jack Eichel for a prospect, some picks, and maybe a bag of chips, if they can find a spot where you factor in, okay, this guy's pissed off at his team. He wants out. He's wanted out for a while. And the price just seems to, I don't even know where we don't even know where the price is going. Buffalo's just so inept at this point. And you're a team where you have farm system depth and you're eventually going to have too many guys coming up. So are there deeper prospects or guys who are just farther down on the depth chart that you'd think are worth trading? And you've also got the fact that Eichel is going to be rehabbing from surgery, and he's probably going to be up until December, so you won't get him until then. They should not trade Mika Zibanejad for him. That's an awful move. I've heard so many rumors about that. Just no. It should be self-explanatory at this point. Zibanejad is one of the best players on the Rangers, second best at worst. Well, maybe third best at worst if you count Foxy and Panarin ahead of him. The Rangers absolutely need to be monitoring this situation with Eichel closely, and I think if the price even swoops down below a certain level, they're going to have competition. They're going to need to swing a quick trade for him if they get the opportunity. That's my two cents for now. Wait until the time is right, and then give him your offer and try to get in before his price gets even lower. Just don't pay too much for Eichel, because I love him on the Rangers. I just don't like some of the trade proposals I've been hearing. But yeah, that's what we have to unpack for the Rangers for now. We'll get into a lot more of that stuff in the next couple weeks as the season gets closer. But yeah, that's kind of your Rangers update for now. And we've basically covered everything. So anyway, good episode today. Another solo one. I'm hoping maybe in a couple months' time, we can get some guests on the show. Gonna need to figure that out. But for now, it's just gonna be me talking to you guys. Same format. I'm gonna be putting out Giants stuff every week. We'll probably get another Yankees update, maybe even before the Rays series next weekend. and reactions to the Giants game should be coming up soon. But anyway, thank you all so much for coming back and listening. Hopefully we can get the audience numbers up. I'm gonna figure out some more outreach stuff, especially with social media, as the getting to more of a rhythm here, I guess. But anyway, follow the Instagram if you haven't, at Big Apple Bites Podcast. It's been a while since I updated. That's probably been since like Yankees free agency, but that there'll hopefully be more stuff coming up. I'm gonna get my act together with that business, I guess. And send a voice message at anchor.fm/BigAppleBites to get featured on the show. Send your questions, comments, anything. But for now, this is Andy from the couch signing off for now. Thank you all so much for coming back and listening. Catch you guys in the next one. Let's go Giants. Let's go Yankees. Let's go Rangers. As always, have a good one. Peace.